the good shepherd. I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he gathers his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. But they won't follow a stranger, they will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to me. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life.
I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who hired is hired hand and not a shepherd. Who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division amongst the Jews for these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?
I and the Father are one. At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one.
Thank you very much indeed to the Bradley family for reading that bit of the Bible for us. Brilliant. We've been doing Psalm 23 over the summer, and it's a brilliant, brilliant piece of the Bible. We've acknowledged already the huge impact that this psalm has had in history, on cultures, and on people personally. It's had a big impact on me, and certainly the ideas that come through into John 10 that the Bradleys just read for us just a moment ago have had a huge impact on me personally, just to illustrate as we start this morning. I wonder if it's going to be quite difficult to do this, but if you think back to your preschool years, You know, can you remember a story book that had an abiding and a lasting impact on you? See, if I think back to my preschool years, and one thing about my preschool years, I'm the fifth child of six kids, and I longed to go to school like my older brothers and sisters. And having got to school, I remember within half an hour, and it was just a very real experience within half an hour, thinking this wasn't all it was cracked up to be. And I spent the rest of my school years looking forward to leaving school. Anyway, in the good old days before school, I've got it in my hand here. It's the only book that I kept and still have with me in my 57th year from when I was 4 years old. And I'm going to show it to you now. It's called The Little Black Lamb. And it is a story of a little lamb that wandered away rather foolishly from its very nice, kind mum and got desperately, desperately lost. And it is actually a story of the Good Shepherd. And I'm about to show you what the four-year-old Tim finds as his abiding memory of this story. If you ask me about it, this is the picture that I remember the most from when I was read it as a little guy. There you go. Bit quaint, bit Jehovah's Witnessy in terms of the artwork now, the kind of stuff that they put through my door and come talk me about in terms of the artwork. But there you are. There is the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus, kneeling beside the lost lamb, which is rather brokenhearted and hurt its leg. And there he is binding it up, its wounds. And he picks the whole thing up and carries the little sheep home to its mother. What I'm saying to you is two or three things here is, one is the power and the wonder of knowing Jesus as your Good Shepherd. Secondly, I want to say to you, if you are a dad or a mum or an uncle or an aunt or a godparent or a grandmother or a grandfather, seriously, do not underestimate the power of taking little stories like that and reading them again and again and again to your godchild, your granddaughter, or your own son or daughter. Seriously, engage them with the Lord Jesus. Big impact on me. So today we're coming to the last of our series in this summer, Psalm 23 in slow-mo, as we've taken to calling it. Well, I have anyway. We are focusing on the Good Shepherd himself, the Lord Jesus, whom the psalm is all about. It's absolutely clear that Jesus is self-understanding and the understanding of the New Testament is Psalm 23 is all about Jesus. He is the Lord our Shepherd. He's the Good Shepherd, John 10. He's the Great Shepherd, Hebrews 13. And he is the Chief Shepherd, 1 Peter chapter 5. Our key verse for today is verse 27 of John chapter 10 there. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. And the context, as we had the reading read for us not long ago, was a situation of striking unbelief in Jesus and aggressive opposition to him. And Jesus takes this moment of aggression and abuse turns it right round to speak remarkable and deep assurance and reassurance to those who do believe in him. It's kind of like at this very moment, for us, the listener, or for the listener then, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is speaking and he says, my sheep know me, they hear my voice, they follow me. It's kind of like saying that there's a clamor of voices here. There is aggression, there is opposition to me. People are saying this, people are saying that, people are saying the other. And Jesus breaks through it all with his voice And he says, my sheep know me. You know me. And the sheep that know him, there's this moment where you phase out all the other voices. You say, so what to them? I'm listening to him. And later on in John's gospel, Jesus says a number of people stop following him. And Jesus says to the disciples, yeah, you guys, are you going to leave me too? And Peter says, where would we go? Where would we go? We don't get it all yet, but where on earth would we go? You, Jesus, have the words of eternal life. We're sticking with your voice and phasing the other voices out. So that's the context of it. Three brief things. Why follow Jesus? Secondly, how do we follow Jesus? And thirdly, what's following Jesus all about? Why follow? How do we follow? What following means? Why follow? This is the motivation for following Jesus. And the simple answer is this, is your stunning relationship with him. Can't put any better than that. The chief motivation, why follow Jesus, is because of the remarkable, amazing, miraculous relationship that you have with him and he has with you. Psalm 23 says, the Lord my shepherd. And we've been thinking about how we should own him personally. The Lord is my shepherd. What does he say, Jesus say here? Well, if Psalm 23, we speak to him and say, he's my shepherd. We find here in John chapter 10, Jesus says, my sheep. We say, my shepherd. And he says in a very, very personal way, of you and of me, my sheep, of us, my sheep, my flock. Wonderfully personal, stunningly remarkable that we can speak in this personal way of the living God. And we begun our service today with a fantastic reading from scripture from Fee and singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He is holy and we are not. We do not deserve anything from him or of him. We don't deserve to know him. And yet he stoops towards us and he reaches out in Jesus, in the Good Shepherd, and we know him as our shepherd and he knows us as his sheep. It's brilliant. I want to say there's nothing sentimental about this either. All right, there's some bite to it. So there you are, a bit of a warning. There's a bite to it. It cuts right against our sinful dependence from God. When we hear Jesus say, you are my sheep, we're not independent. You know, we you're not your own. You don't belong to yourself. We think we do, but no, we belong to another. Romans 1 verse 6 says this of Christians, says that we are called to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. You belong to him. And Romans 7 verse 4 says this, you belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead. And that part of Romans 7 is all about the temptation to live in a sinful way according to our sinful nature. And the pressure and the tendency in our hearts to go that way, to worship ourselves and follow other things. And Paul says, no, you belong to another. You belong to Jesus, to the one who was raised from the dead. The Lord is my shepherd and I am his. I belong to my shepherd God. So it cuts against the I generation, doesn't it? You know, we are part of the I generation. It's not just, those of us born much earlier might talk about the snowflake generation coming through, the millennials and all the rest of it. You know, we've got to be careful about that because, who taught them to be the I generation if it wasn't just following us? We are the I generation. And we've got to stand out and be, if I can put it this way, his generation. His generation. We belong to him. See, we can't just do what we want. We can't just think what we want, what I want. We must think and act accordingly with what he wants. And the remarkable thing is that there is great joy, there is great security, there is peace, and there is absolute eternal safety in going his way. You know, we've got to be self-aware, we've got to be spiritually aware, we've got to be honest with ourselves. It may be that we need to do a bit of a soul review. You know, there are, we think we're free agents, but we're not. And we think that in following Jesus, you know, if you've not yet done that, you might think you might just fall into a trap. You know, it's not the way to go, and you'll be wary. You know, you don't want to belong to something else. But the fact is, and seriously, you need to be self-aware. You need to do the soul review. You've got to be honest with yourself. Don't take my words for it. You know, think for yourself, seriously. The fact is, you already belong to something. You already do belong to other people, to some philosophy, to things, to spirituality, to some agenda for your life. And it promises so much. But you, if you are honest and if you go for a bit longer and go for long enough, you will know that they don't deliver. There's massive disappointment. There's brokenness, there's emptiness. You come across a moment in your life where you feel real conned. And then you just add your own mistakes, your own sin, your own selfishness to that, shame and guilt. We already belong. We belong to things that enslave us. Jesus comes, and he's the good shepherd who rescues us. Look at verse 29 of John 10. My Father who is given then to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand, and I and the Father are one. It's amazing, it just saying that the term Jesus uses there is that the sheep, his sheep, Jesus' sheep, are gifted to the good shepherd by the Father, gifted by the Father to the Son. Our good shepherd is the one who paid for you. He gave his life for you. He laid down his life in order to give lost sheep life, true life. And he didn't simply die for you. He did. He did die for you. But he didn't just die for you. And nor was his life wrenched away from him for you. He freely and voluntarily gave his life for you. That's what verses 14 and 15 say. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. He gave his life for you. What a gift. What a price that he paid for you and for me. The price of our freedom. More precious than silver and gold. Another part of the Bible puts it like this, 1 Peter 1:18-19. You were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold, which is the most valuable commodities going on the planet. Might add platinum, maybe something else. But no, something much more precious than all those things put together. The precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. That's, he gave his life for you. So that is the motivation to follow Jesus, the stunning relationship that you have with him, where you can say, he is my shepherd. And he says of you that you are his sheep, my sheep. I gave my life for you, willingly, lovingly, sacrificially, to save you from yourself, to save you from all those other futile things that you run after, to rescue and save you from those things that enslave you, to forgive you from your sin, to free you from facing God's judgment. Isn't that fantastic? What a motivation. So let's move to that second thing. How do we follow? The means of following Jesus? Well, it's very clear. Verse 27, our key verse, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. That's the simplicity of it, is hearing his voice and knowing that he knows us. Knowing that when he speaks to us, he knows us through and through. He's not speaking stuff which is irrelevant. He's speaking truth, truth we need to hear, truth that does us good. He knows us and he speaks to us. And when he does speak, we know it is him who's speaking. The Good Shepherd is very good at his job, if I can make a very big understatement there. He knows his sheep like a good shepherd should do. He knows your guilt, your sin, your shame. He knows your weaknesses, your failings. He knows your circumstances. He knows your struggles. He knows your pain. He knows the stresses and the strains you face in life. He knows your temptations. He knows your temper. He knows your personality. He knows your relationships. He knows all your relationships. And you've been given to him by the Father. And he's paid for all that's gone wrong. You've been cleansed by him, purified by him, justified by him, redeemed by him, and renewed by him. He knows you, and you hear his voice, and you do, don't you? You do. The Bible, his words ring true with your heart. That moment when the penny drops and you go, oh, that's what it means. And it just is true with your conscience. You know, now I see it. Now I understand. And it's brilliant. I wish others knew about that. You try and convince them and they just don't see it yet because they don't yet know his voice, but you do. We know it's his voice when the Bible challenges us and we react against it. Are we looking for the let out clause coming through? There must be some alternative that gives a better description of what this means. You know, it's a rebuke. I've been told off here. Or you just want to ignore it quietly or hope it goes away. And those emotions come out from a heart that knows it's him who's speaking. We can't ignore him. It's him. And he's right. And I'm wrong. And I need to respond. It's him. And he's right, and he's good, and I want to respond to him, my shepherd, as I hear his voice. Well, I hope you enjoyed the little video which was shown earlier in our time together. Those people calling out to the sheep. I reckon trying to listen in, they were trying to speak Welsh to those sheep, so for all sorts of reasons, the sheep just completely blanked them, didn't they? And they were hollering at the sheep, just carry on eating the grass, you know, heads down, you know. And then the shepherd steps up, doesn't he? And he calls them clear. Straight away, immediately their heads come up. They start bleating, they start responding. Now they're calling back, aren't they? They hear his voice, head up, and they call back. They go, yeah, we're here. And then they come flocking from all over the field. And then he hops over the fence in the last bit of the video there. And they're all following him. They're all following him. And they're really happy to see him, aren't they? They're delighting in that moment. And as they follow him across the field, as the film comes to an abrupt end at that particular point. And we've got to see ourselves in those sheep's hooves, if I can put it that way. Do sheep have hooves or trotters? Well, pigs have trotters, don't they? They don't have paws, do they? Or anyway, sheep's hooves. And we've got to put ourselves in their feet. And other voices do call to us. Come out of this context of Jesus. People are saying there are other voices going on. And he breaks through the clamour and he says, listen to me, my sheep. You know, you can hear me. Listen to me. And putting ourselves in those sheep's feet, as it were, their shoes. Other voices are calling us, you, religious voices, spiritual, intellectual, philosophical, cultural, peer group pressure. You know, heading out to start in secondary school or heading back to school after a long time, peer group pressure, people wanting you to go their way, the voice of success, materialism, political voices, experiential voices, all clamoring for our attention. And we need to be like those sheep, not bothered, not listening. Blank them out. Blank them all out. But when his voice comes, head up, listen in, call back. It's called prayer. And just come to him. Head to him. Where's his voice come from? Now, the sheep didn't see. See that in the, remember in the film there? The sheep did not see the shepherd. You know, they heard the direction of the voice, and that's where they went. And that's what we've got to do. Listen to the shepherd's voice and head in that direction. And here's a warning, the most dangerous voice to listen to, well, they're the ones that question or undermine the shepherd's voice, aren't they? As happened way back in the Garden of Eden. Did he really say that? Did God actually say? Yeah, the warning of the New Testament in shepherd flock terms, Acts chapter 20, this is the great Christian leader, the Apostle Paul, speaking to other church leaders, and he says this: pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. It's the flock of God. Shepherd, lay down his life for sheep. So I don't know why people say that Paul didn't, you know, he came in and said a whole load of things different to Jesus. And right there, isn't it? Here we are, flock terms, and he gave his own blood. It's Jesus, isn't it? We hear the teaching of Jesus in the teaching of Paul here. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come among you, not sparing the flock, says the Apostle Paul. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert. Don't listen to them. Listen to the Good Shepherd. You know, these other shepherds, have any of them laid down their life for you? Now, what has materialism, seriously, sacrificed for you? What philosophy is it that you're following? What element of that philosophy gave up itself for you and for your life? Only Jesus, only the Lord Jesus. So ignore them like those sheep ignored everyone except the shepherd on that hillside. And when you hear the Good Shepherd's voice, head up, pay attention, happily head straight in the direction the voice came from. And then we move to the final phrase of verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. They follow me. The motivation to follow Jesus, well, the stunning relationship you have with him. My shepherd, my sheep. The means of following him is paying attention and following his familiar voice. What's it all about? What does it all mean? Where does it all lead? Well, it's about the making of followers, the making of disciples. What Jesus intends to produce is unavoidably clear. It's brilliantly described of the Christian life. It is just simply this: a follower. That's what Jesus wants to create here. People who will follow him. Be led by him, be under his direction. Your life brought into the realm of his purposes and his influence, his joy, living out his humility in accordance with his voice. Jesus comes to the disciples after he'd risen from the dead, and he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples, that is, followers, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have already commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So the shepherd says, I'm going to be with you forever. What I call from you is that you make other followers. You follow me and make and bring and encourage others, teach others to follow me too. tune them into my voice, introduce them to me. Now, this is the very heart of authentic Christian spirituality. This is the Bible spirituality. There are lots and lots of ways that you can serve the Lord and serve his family, the church, the rest of the flock. There are all sorts of joys and pressures in serving the Lord and following him. A lot of the time we can be tempted to forget. We can get so involved with serving in all sorts of ways, being a parent, being a Christian in the workplace, that we forget that it comes down to simply this: I am a follower of Jesus. And maybe that's something you've lost and something you need to rediscover. So you have got the greatest motivation to follow him. You've got his familiar voice to follow. What does it mean in practice? Well, it means giving time to listen to him, doesn't it? To listen to your good shepherd in regular, prayerful, thoughtful, meditative listening to his word, the Bible. Taking opportunities to get to our small groups, our gospel teams. Making opportunities to listen again on Sundays or listen to something on a podcast. To read the Bible, little books that come out of the Bible with our children and our grandchildren and our godchildren. Taking time to listen to him. In our mind's eye, when we're doing those moments, is kind of saying, what's happening is I read the Bible. I'm not just reading words, I'm listening to his voice. And it's as though in that moment, he, the good shepherd, is just taking me on one side and he's talking to me. And he's giving me a review. And he's telling me what I need to hear because I've got that annoying self-critical voice that's been inbuilt into me. You know, we all do this, that it's telling me untruth. And I need to hear him say, no, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're a child of God. Stop listening to the rubbish. Or there's that pride in me that's wanting to big myself up. And he takes me on one side and he says, listen, Tim, stop being an idiot. It's not all about you. I'm the center of the universe. And that person is one of my sheep too. I think you're better than him or her. See what I mean? It's listening to him, following him and following in his ways, allowing him through his word, the Bible, the presence of his spirit to speak to us, to comfort us, to challenge us, to call for a decision, to persuade us, and then to empower us by his Holy Spirit. As Psalm 23 says, to lead me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, for his glory. So let me end by thinking about some things that might just persuade us as we draw this series to a close. Why do you serve others? Well, why? Because you belong to the shepherd, Lord Jesus. He says of you, my sheep. He laid down his life for you. And you hear his voice saying, follow me, serve others. That's why you do it. Why do you want to speak and share his gospel, his good news? Because you belong to the shepherd, Lord Jesus. And he says of you, my sheep, I lay down my life for you. You hear me saying to you now, go and make disciples. That's why you do it. Because you're into some sort of religious rule and trying to sort of live by some performance. No. He loves you. He died for you. And you want to follow him. Why do you care for your family, your children? And why do you honor one another in our families? Why? Because Jesus says, you're my sheep. I love you. I gave my life for you. And you hear my voice saying, honor your father and your mother. What about living out integrity at work? Well, it's because you're my sheep. I love you. I gave my life for you. And you know that I say to you, whatever you do in the workplace, do it for me. I know you've got a boss at the workplace, but your boss has got a boss, and that boss has got a boss too, and it's me. I'm in charge. Do it for me. If you do it for me, you'll be a brilliant colleague, but it's because you're following me. And you follow me because you hear my voice. And you're my sheep. I gave my life for you. And why be compassionate towards those who suffer? Why be compassionate and have mercy on the vulnerable, upon orphans and widows and asylum seekers? Because the Bible tells us to. That's why. And the voice of the Bible is the voice of Jesus. You're my sheep. I love you. You're an asylum seeker. You were lost. You're vulnerable without me. You're completely vulnerable. I gave my life for you. I love you. You know me. Show me to others. Be merciful to them as I've been merciful to you. Do you see, it's about following him. Let's serve the Lord with big hearts. Work hard, but let's not lose sight of Jesus and his wonderful words here. Psalm 23, fulfilled so wonderfully here in John 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Well, it's to wrap up and finish our series, we're going to be singing together now, Guide Me, Oh, My Great Redeemer, My Great Jehovah. And it's a great song to be singing, which is a song to encourage each other with to keep on following. Keep on following the Lord who is with us. So let's sing together as we begin to draw to a close.